This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And we are live. We are live here on Instagram Live and Pet Life Radio. Good morning, good morning. And here for you, here for your pets. You know the drill. So anyway, hey staff, how you doing? Good morning. So how to get a hold of me? Right here on Instagram. You're here already, so that makes it easy. Otherwise, you can always on Pet Life Radio, join on, start typing away, or 877-385-8882. Once again, 877-385-8882. Sharon, how are you doing? And so let me hear your question. So I want to get a few more people on. I want some advice. I want to know how you think I should handle this. So, and it is, so I did a post, as many of you know, when I saw that this little fluffy Frenchie, okay? And Lake Elsinore, hey, how you doing? That's great. All right. All right. So I'm just trying to say hello and wave to everybody. So anyway, I'm a Frenchie guy, and I see a lot of Frenchies, and I do the surgeries to help them breathe better. And so I'm getting a lot of French bulldogs. And French bulldogs are, as we know, there are unfortunately a lot of Frenchie rescues out there now, but there are also still a lot of Frenchies I'm getting from breeders. And these are pretty, some good breeders. They really are responsible breeders. And anyway, so this dog comes in, which was, you know, kind of really adorable. I've never seen it. When I first came in, I thought, oh my God, what is this? Is this like a Shar Pei mixed with a Frenchie? I mean, it was just the weirdest thing. So anyway, you know, it is called a fluffy Frenchie. Oh, and the coat, by the way, it wasn't your normal Frenchie coat. I have a Frenchie. It was like a bunny. It was so amazing. So I was kind of surprised and amazed at this dog. And of course, it is a typical Frenchie cute puppy, 12 weeks old, whatever it was. It was adorable. So anyway, I'm doing this post, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, I get a note from one of my friends, followers, Casey Montoya from KTLA. And she goes, Jeff, they are beating you up on comments. I go, what comments? So I go and I look at some of the comments, and it seems like a lot of the rescue-oriented, no breeding people were just like blasting over this dog, and I was, you know, so amused by it. And it's like, wait a second, I have 8 pets. I had 10 at one point. I had 5 cats, 5 dogs, all rescues or rehomes. My cats are always rescues, and my dogs, I have 3 rescues and 2 rehomes. Both rehomes, as has happened to me many times over the years, started as my patients. And for whatever reason, mostly good reasons, it just wasn't working out. Interestingly, a number of the reasons were because of multiple pet households, and one of the pets or 2 of the pets were attacking, in one case, one of my cats, who was a beautiful, beautiful ragdoll, pure breed, beautiful. He was so afraid of their German Shepherd, he would not come out from under the couch, under the table, and it was terrible. And you know, the owner felt so badly, and I don't blame him. So, hey, Janice, he had to find a home, and I was so in love with his cat. I said, oh, I'll take him. And he fit in beautifully. I mean, my dogs could care less because they grew up with cats. They always have cats around the house. So to them, it was just another cat. So, but anyway, that's the story. And of course, how many times do I say adopt, don't shop? And yet it was, I was like, really? I can't comment? I mean, but just because the dog's a pure breed and very interesting looking, what am I supposed to turn away all my patients if they're purebred dogs? I just thought it was weird. So I don't know. I definitely want to respond to it. But as I said, if they saw me and they commented on Instagram, then obviously they see many a time how much I talk about, you know, adopt, don't shop and all those things. So anyway, we'll have to see. But I mean, am I wrong to comment if it is? I mean, come on, let's face it. Usually purebred dogs for whatever breed people like. And I love my Labradors, and I've always had Lab. In fact, my current Lab is also a rehome. So, you know, what do you think? So just curious to know here. comments. Do I say anything? I was just going to say, look, I'm with you. I'm a big fan of adoption, as you know, and my pets are adopted. But, it doesn't stop me from seeing and commenting how cute or adorable or whatever or interesting a certain dog is. Stone removed is calcium struvite. So the struvite, so let me go, Andy, let me see your first. Dog had cystotomy surgery 7 days ago. I'm picking her up now for the vet tomorrow. Any advice? 7 days ago, and she was at the hospital for 7 days? That's interesting. Boy, my cystotomies go home the same day. Obviously, we test, make sure that it's patent. And that is, and what's also interesting, female dogs, because the urethra is so much wider, they don't have the same problem that male dogs do when it comes to blockages from bladder stones. So, but if it was a struvite, then we call it triple phosphate or struvite, then their diet and dietary pH, the pH of the urine, actually can benefit the prevention of former, you know, new stones forming. So it's definitely one. And by the way, our attitudes have changed about this too. It's not necessarily the ash content or the mineral content. It is the pH of the urine that really predisposes these dogs to certain kinds of stones. So if it was struvite, that means the urine was probably too basic and we want to acidify the urine. So you can talk to your doctor, your veterinarian about some supplements or medications that can acidify the urine, keep it pH of 6.5 or preferably 6 or even 5.5 and prevent the recurrence of these bladder stones. But were there complications? Is it seven to keep a dog for a week after a surgery like that? As I said, I might go home the same day. I might keep them one night, but 7 days, unless you were out of town and you wanted them to keep them, keep her. So, would you let me know? That just seems a little bit excessive. Thank you, Steph. Yeah, I know, which is weird, but you know, it's like you attack somebody for, I'm on your side. What are you attacking me for? You know, can you imagine a veterinarian who makes swears, right, has an oath that they're going to protect animals and relieve suffering. Someone, a purebred dog is going to come in. They go, no, I don't treat purebred dogs. So no, that's crazy. So anyway, Michelle, how you doing? And let's see, Frenchie, it's a cute big rope, Frenchie. I know I'm not a fan of the mixes they are doing. You allowed to have an opinion. Well, yeah, and my opinion wasn't that go out and buy one. My opinion was, oh my God, this dog is really interesting. It's really cute. So anyway, recovery. Wow. Boy, I would hate to see that bill. That just seems excessive. Were you a regular vet or a specialty hospital? And I don't want to go too much into my opinions, you know, they're not good when it comes to these specialty hospitals owned by corporations, but it does happen. We do see them. So anyway, I'd just like to know more. It's kind of, that seems excessive. Even for the specialty hospitals here in Los Angeles, and they are often crazy. I wouldn't keep a dog for a whole week. All right. Timothy Frenchie keeps getting bumps around his eyelids that look like styes, the smaller bumps around his eyelids and your chin. So it could be allergies. Also, you know, when it comes to when you have lesions like that around mucocutaneous junctions, like eyelids, like around the chin, near the mouth, there are some other dermatoses that can cause that. Some are immune-mediated. So I'm treating a dog right now, actually, that has a disease called pemphigus foliaceus. And pemphigus is, and again, it started out just like little blisters. And then they came within a week. And then all of a sudden, the dog walked in with the crusts, these bullous lesions all over the eyelids and the muzzle and the face, the nose. I go, oh my God, this is textbook pemphigus. And because of the fact it was coming from a rescue and money was obviously a limiting factor to do the biopsy, I was so sure. And it was so textbook. You look at pictures, you go, oh my God, this is the dog. So I just went to straight to treatment. Is that ideal? No. Is that the academic approach? Absolutely. To just get diagnoses first. And then you got good old Doc here, who is a practical vet, not an academic vet. And I took the proverbial bull by the horns and we started treating right. The dog is doing great. There was no way this was not autoimmune. Pemphigus, discoid lupus, all these diseases that are immune mediated and steroids or an immunosuppressive dose of steroids and some other medications can be used. But again, the least expensive, was the steroids. We went to it, and I mean, literally within a week, already major improvement. I'm going to show pictures. I'm going to do posts of it. So, all right, no complications at all. Wow, that is so bizarre. All right, and okay, all right. Thank you, JB. So, yeah, I've always, you know, and again, I tell people that too. I always encourage people to get a rescue before you go out and buy. Check, there are so many rescue, and there's so many specific, breed-specific rescues now that you can easily find something you really, really like. I've seen, I'm a Labrador guy, pure labs coming out of, I said, oh my God, this dog is, where'd you get it? Oh, there was the shelter. They pulled it from a shelter. And I'm thinking, a shelter? Somebody actually gave this dog up? Why would they do that? But you never know. You never know. People's lives change. And you have a dog, you think you're great, or you have a kid, and all of a sudden the dog is taking a back seat, or you're losing your apartment. I get it. So, and again, so for the lucky one is the one who adopts that dog. So But I don't, if somebody really, really wants to get a pure breed and they're working with a breeder and the breeder is legitimate, okay? If it's a legitimate breeder, then if you're going to do it, because the problem is when you have these breeders that are really not true breeders, they're not breeding to protect the breed, to protect the physical attributes of the breed, then that's why you get these bad dogs. And that's why these dogs get taken to a shelter. So if you're going to do breeding, do your homework. And when you go online and you get these outfits that have these pure breed dogs, I would recommend against that. That I'll openly say, because inevitably they are getting them from probably puppy mills. They're a middle person and these dogs are not well bred. If you ask the breeder some simple questions, all right, for example, can you give me the names of some of the people that have gotten your dogs, that have purchased your dogs? Or here's an important one, who's your veterinarian? If they don't have you an answer, like the tip of their tongue, like it's right there. We took them to, no. Now, wrong breeder. Any good breeder has a very close relationship with their veterinarian. They probably know their phone number by heart. And if you can't get that, then I would guard against that. Since day. Again, for me, it would be excessive. I'd love anyone else who's had a dog with a bladder surgery to have it hospitalized for a week. I've never had to do that. Never had to do that. All right. Talk about IBDD in dogs. I fostered and owned dogs with the arch back. I work with senior dogs, and there's usually not much that can be done. Just pain management. You see a future cure. So that is a really good question. Do I see a situation where there's not? I don't know. It would be tough. Talking about breeding and corrective breeding and trying to breed out. Look what we've done to the Persian cat. Look what we're doing right now to French bulldogs. And we're breeding in for these problems. That poor Persian can barely breathe now. His face is flat as a pancake. So that's a problem. So, but when we have IVDD, that's why we call it a breed predilection. It is something that we commonly see in certain breeds. And when it happens, it's almost like it's going to happen. By the way, the arch bath, let me tell you something interesting. Let's go back to the Frenchies because I know this breed really well. So if you look at an x-ray of a French bulldog at the thoracolumbar junction, okay, that's like T11 to L2, you see like a pyramid shape. And the vertebrae are so misshapen. And instantly talking to one of my friends and colleagues, a great veterinary surgeon, and I asked him, I said, when you do that, and we know that Frenchies have back problems, he says, rarely is the actual disc causing the back problem in that area. It's usually farther back, lumbar, or in the mid-thorax, or the neck. The neck is a biggie for Frenchies. But it's not in that crazy-shaped area from in the middle of the TL region. So, you know, it's right now, it's pain management. It's inflammation. There are many, many options out there. When I have severe pain or I'm suspicious of neurologic dysfunction, I'm going to put them on steroids. As much as I like the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories for general management and things like gabapentin for the pain, maybe even tramadol, I like the gabapentin better. But there are some times when we have to go steroid. So if I have a dog presenting with severe disease and an acute onset of a neurologic deficit. They're dragging their back feet. They can't get up. They're still able to stand, but they're really not walking well. You can see they're in pain. They're very stiff. The neck, they don't want to look up. Instead, they're looking like this and their eyes are going up. And that when you pull their neck back, you feel it like shaking. That is, for me, steroids. And I've spoken to many, many surgeons that do these surgeries. And they agreed that though the trend has gone a little bit more for routine back issues to the non-steroidals, when it comes to neurologic deficits, they're going steroids. And that's the old-fashioned me. And I find that that's still the best. Nicole, how you doing? Cat Bougie, still very itchy lately, picking all over, likes the bites, trying to scratch, skin looks clean, no fleas, really don't have any ideas. So that's interesting. Now we know that cats get something called miliary dermatitis, and it's very itchy, like a secondary infection. So it could be that if there are, usually with secondary infection though, there's still gonna be some lesions. So if there are no lesions and there are no fleas and like no scabs, no sores, I hate to say, but sometimes it can be behavioral, and especially with a cat. You know, I always say, I'd rather tackle a cat's toughest surgical or medical problem over a cat behavior problem any day of the week. So they are pretty tough. So I probably want to see again. I still can't believe there's no fleas. Usually when I hear about this and someone comes in, oh no, I don't, we have no fleas. I'll go through that animal and I'll find fleas. So, but we should definitely see it again. My dog, my mutt, is a picky eater. I started making her food, lean protein, sweet potato, green beans. 8-year-old, I gotta make sure she's getting the nutrients she needs. Ah, that's a really good question. Okay, so hang on a second. We're going to be back after these short messages from our sponsors here at Pet Life Radio. Don't go away, and we will follow up. We'll start with that question. We'll talk about it, though, during the break as well. Don't go away.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did, this product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5-mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Okay, we're here. So, during the break, a great question came in. It says, is vestibular disease reversible? So, first of all, there's idiopathic and vestibular disease. That is a middle old to older age dog, all of a sudden, head tilt, falling over, eyes flickering back and forth. It's not a matter of it being reversible. It goes away on its own 90%+ of the time. You can use, I use for anti-vertigo medications like meclizine. Sometimes I'll stick in my little cortisone because it probably has some inflammation. Of course, checking the ears as best you can for infection. Now, if the vestibular disease is more central, meaning it's coming from the brain, not idiopathic vestibular disease, it's because of a lesion, a mass, and some sort of infection, then you'd have to find out what the underlying cause is first before you can treat it and reverse it, even if it is reversible or treatable. So that would require, if it doesn't go away on its own, if there's no nystagmus, if there's just head tilt, circling, you have to probably consider, and it didn't come on. I mean, usually with idiopathic vestibular disease, it literally happens not even overnight, from 10 minutes to the next. So if that's not the case, then you're going to need to do diagnostics and probably get a referral to a neurologist, and whether it's going to be an MRI or probably MRI is best, CT, not as good. It's going to take and really great neuro exam. And so for that, I would probably recommend a neurologist. I did a CSI investigation looking for a breeder. Yeah, no, it's just about what you have to do. Hey, Steve, how's the knee? Okay, let's go. I'm waving. Eloise, hello, Vicky. Is it a good idea to get an x-ray so I have a baseline just in case regarding IBDD? Oh, absolutely. 100%. Because sometimes, here's what you can see from an x-ray. You can see calcified discs. All right. It's unlikely you're going to find that disc in the core, but you're going to see a lot of what we call disc narrowing. And there are certain parts of the body, like LS disease, lumbosacral disease. I can take the x-ray in two different positions, and I can see the change in relationship between L7 and S1, the last lumbar vertebrae and the first sacral vertebrae. And that is a clear indication. You can see what happens to the foramen, the opening where the nerve roots enter and exit, and it usually gets pinched off. So that is almost a classic diagnosis, and that you can usually make with x-ray. So I would definitely take x-rays. It's good to know because you want to see just what the back looks like. There's also another thing when it comes to IVDD that it may not be IVDD necessarily. Now, there is something called spondylosis, okay? And that is a bridging of adjacent vertebrae under a bony bridge. And that's just history. It's evidence that there was a lot of movement, unnecessary movement, excessive movement, and the body is trying to fix it by building this bridge. Now, you also get discospondylitis, which is an infection, and that's where the end plates are truly eaten away. And I got burned once with this because when we have a big dog and you can't fit all the entire spine in one x-ray. So you got to do two. So I split from the, back to the thorax to the beginning of the lumbar, then the lumbar to, and the one area, and I didn't pick this up until a second follow-up, that we missed on the first one was right at that point, that's where the discospondylitis was. And it's like, oh my God, I'm already an idiot. Of course I should have done that and gotten that part in too. But that's how we learn. But that's usually a severe infection in the spinal cord, in the joints, the bones, the vertebrae, that needs heavy duty medication. I saw the video. I mean, it sounds like almost like a regurgitation attempt, like a GERD. So gastroesophageal reflux disease. So I would definitely try at least for now, giving a half a Pepcid or a half a Prilosec and see if that seems to help. But also if she's still eating or if she's still drinking and she's otherwise okay, I'm less concerned. If she's not, then I'm a little more concerned. Okay. Hold on. Right. My life with corgis. Hey, how you doing? Okay. Hold on. Can I continue with her regular diet when she gets back home? No. I would get with this history. I would look for a different a diet. You want to talk to your veterinarian, a diet that is more acidifying, or you can feed your regular diet but add something like D-L-methionine or ammonium chloride. There are things you can add that are known to acidify the urine, and that's what you need to do. My groomer isn't doing it right. My vet saw her 2 weeks after the groom and said they only did one side. I didn't even know there were two sides. So that is, and let me go back to your first one. Give me 1 second. I was gotten so tied up with all these other great questions. I lost you there. Okay. Started making her food, lean protein, sweet potato, green beans. I'm not sure she's getting there. No, that was, what was the first question you asked? I make her food, lean protein. So as far as the nutrients, the one thing you need to do is there are a lot of veterinary schools now. You can get through their nutrition department and they can actually help you. Plus, I would imagine now, even though I don't love the internet for everything, but if you went on to like ChatGPT, told them exactly what you have, the dog, I have one of my colleagues uses it for so many things and I'm amazed how accurate it often is. That you are trying to put a diet together for your dog, give the age, the breed, the size, 8-year-old dog, and see what they recommend. You want to make a complete home-cooked diet for whatever reason. And see, you can also look, feed what you're feeding and just get a really good multivitamin supplement. For example, I have my Boost. You can get it online. Amazon has it, Body Boost. And it is just a good broad spectrum multivitamin supplement for dogs, especially a case like this where the owners want to do a home cooked meal and don't know how to balance it out. So that is, you can try that as well. But generally, you know, I take nutrients, I take supplements, okay? But that's just me. A lot of people go through life just eating what they eat. They mix their proteins, their vegetables, all that, and they get enough of their nutrients. So, you know, it is something that to be safe, which is why I do it, is just get a multivitamin mineral supplement for your dog. That might be the best way to go, and cheaper than going through a nutrition department. And everybody usually likes cheaper. Okay. Products are great. Oh, thank you. I think they're pretty good. Anal glands done wrong at groomers. You've seen that best new glands with your vet. Okay. That's another good question. Boy, you guys are great today. So anal glands could be a real nuisance. First of all, for us as well, I hate doing anal glands. I've gotten squirted in the face more than once. I'm saying, you know what? This is not right. Anyway, the problem is groomers, there are two techniques. There's the easier technique where you just basically go, you can feel the swollen glands, that they're full, sort of at the 4:30 and the 7:30 position. If the butt was a clock, you can squeeze them against each other. Don't look at it while you're doing it, trust me, and turn your head to the side. If you can have your hands in the back of the dog and your head in the front of the dog, that would be great, but of course, that's not so easy. And you gently squeeze, have like a cotton gauze, paper towel, something in the way, and you can squeeze them out. And most of the time, if you're doing it well and right, it's fine. Now, the better way, which is why groomers won't do it this way, I don't blame them, and veterinarians will do it this way, and they don't love to, and that is you put the glove on and you go into the rectum and you squeeze one gland at a time against your thumb and your index finger. So you're doing one side and you turn it and do the other side, and that is the better, more efficient, more complete way to empty the glands. So if you have a dog with recurring problems, I would highly recommend at least seeing a veterinarian soon after it was done elsewhere, because that way you'll know, are they really doing a good job or not? So if they're done and you take it to the vet and the vet says, oh my God, they're empty, they're good, then you're pretty good. So anyway, just a thought, but it's one of those things that once you get it in your face, in your hair, you know what? You say, I'm never doing that again. I even tell people, I tell my clients, they say, can you teach me how to do this? I can do it at home. I said, you don't want to know. You don't want to try it. Trust me. But a lot of them can do it. All right. Medicine for PhD. Okay. My groomer isn't doing it right. Yeah, obviously. All right. Cheryl, hello. Hardway, I can remember that one. I first one. By the way, Sharon, that thing you sent me this morning, from the, I don't know where that was taken, but it looked somewhere in Europe. I don't know, but everything, it was amazing. Thank you so much. That was great. Brother, to you, why I got it from a breeder. LOL. That's because I heard you say, adopt on shops. Oh, thank you. Yes, I do. I mean, that's my line. And I work with a number of really, really, you know, good rescue groups. And nowadays, in fact, one of my clients, I'll be honest with you. One of my dogs, my Labrador, my pure breed lab, is 14. He's going strong still, but he's 14. So I've already decided that when he goes and we're going to get another dog, it's going to be I'm going to go to the Labrador Retriever Rescue. I'm going to, you know, check with my rescues that I work with. Sometimes they get in a dog that looks 90%+ Labrador. And they're great. Yeah, we're talking great dogs. I'd rather save a life than you know, sort of, you remember, every time you get a dog, privately, or again, I'm talking, a lot of people get dogs from breeders, and I don't know really how legit they are. But every time you do that, there's a dog sitting in a shelter right now that's going to be put to sleep. I hate to guilt you, but that's the reality. So if you can, one of my good neighbors who's had, this is his He had two beautiful Pyrenean Mastiffs. Then he got a beautiful purebred. It was actually a bred doodle and the greatest dog. And he said to me, Jeff, help me find, I want to get a rescue dog. So that's kind of, that's where we should all be going if we can. Cat Steppers, how you doing? All right. The body boost. Yes, boost is amazing. All right, now, Moli the Frenchie, throwing out for 3 days last day, had a little blood. The blood work said his liver numbers were 750. Wow. They did it again and didn't register. Wow. All right, so, Denimarin, so I would imagine, I'm hoping, well, not hoping, the 750, if we have a really sick dog, is called the ALT, alanine transferase. That is the one that we really worry about. Now, alkaline phosphatase is, we see this elevated in older dogs from just a fatty, from a basically it's a liver condition just associated with age, all right? And it's just called vacuolar hepatopathy if you want a little, you know, coffee table talk. And not, you know what you have to do about that one. The also, dogs that are on steroids, dogs that are on phenobarbital will have high alkaline phosphatase as well. And therefore, dogs with Cushing's disease, but that's usually associated with PUPD, urinating and drinking like crazy. So, and that requires some other testing to get an answer. So I would, if it is the ALT, that is a true liver enzyme. And that's the most significant one for indicating liver disease, liver function, and overall health of the pet. So if it's go, the first one's from 750, high normal is like 100, 130 or something, 131. So what I would do is have a really thorough ultrasound done, preferably by a specialist. And based on that ultrasound, they may see things that are totally abnormal that could be tested. We used to, back in the old days, when I was concerned about a liver mass or a liver disease like that, we would do a true cut biopsy. And that is going through the skin, percutaneous. And that's fallen out of favor because, and I look, I got lucky in many, 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 many years of doing it. I have never had that bleed, but you always test them first for clotting disease, make sure they're clotting well. And then you use the ultrasound probe and you stick this long needle in, you push the stylet in, and then you pull out and you get a little chunk of skinny, skinny piece of liver and you send that off for the biopsy. But for that, you have to really hope that you got a representative sample from the right area that's causing the problem. Now, with endoscopy and laparoscopy for this, you can actually look at the liver, look at the lesion, get it wired exactly where you need to get it, and it's much better. But of course, that needs skilled hands, skilled equipment, expensive equipment. So you need to probably go to an internist for that. But that would be that would be my next step. Now, of course, is the dog acting fine? I mean, with liver values that high and now off the charts, unless it's alkaline phosphatase. So if you can tell me, is it ALP, alk phos, or ALKPHOS, alk phos, or is it ALT, or it's alanine transferase? That's the way they used to call it, SGPT. But that's the one that I'd like to know, and please get back to me, and I can direct you once I know. All right. Lastly, is Royal Canin OS a good option? Yeah, it should be okay. Yes, it should. What you do is when you're going to switch to that food, and you can, then I would test urine again for urinary pH, maybe in about a month after you start the new food. Completely normal acting. If he's completely normally acting, I don't fear. My guess is that it's alkaline. So if you can ask them, if you want to send me the copy of the lab work, we'll go from there. Now, if it is ALT and it's gotten 750 up, but still acting fine, it could have been some sort of insult that usually then would probably go away with time. And unless there's some sort of liver shunt problem going on, an acquired liver shunt, but then there are other values that would be high as well. So I would love to see. You could send me, feel free to send me the blood test, and we'll get back. All right, he's not on anything. The skin spray that we got from you has made Rigo's skin condition is smoother and bumps are gone or less. Good, I'm glad. That's what I wanted. So I'm thrilled to hear that. So he had an ultrasound, the liver was normal. Oh, wow. Send me the boys. Look, not every case. That's why we do what we do. And I say, it's something new and exciting every day. So yeah, I would definitely want to see that. All right. All right. We're at the end of my rope two ways. I think I did my last wave back. So next week, Sunday, I'll be in New York. That means I'm going to be on your Eastern time, which is noon. I don't know yet what's where I'm going to be at noon in New York. I have a wedding in New Jersey to go to, which is at 4 o'clock. So I have to leave. I most likely will be on the show. It'll be from probably my hotel room in New York City, a place called the Art House. And that's where everybody who's coming in from LA to go to this wedding is staying. So anyway, but if for some reason, something's going on and I can, I will let you guys know earlier in the day that I will not be on the show. And Mark, that goes from you too. Right now I'm planning on doing the show. I don't leave in New York until Monday. All right. How do you send to me? You can send it to drjeff, Dr. Jeff, at, here's the hard part, drjeff.com. So I'm Dr. Jeff at drjeff.com. No period after the DR. drjeff at drjeff.com. Okay. So I'll take a look and make sure you send me your contact information and I will get back to you after I look at the blood work. All right. Be well. Have a great week, everybody. Bye.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.